Gary. Appreciate that. And again, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. And it's not really a Mother's Day sermon, but I know mothers are prone to giving. They give their time. They give over their resources, give over their bodies. They give over their sanity at times in order to become mothers. So this is something that, while not a specific Mother's Day sermon, it does speak to mothers. So, but you can see, yes, Gary has a keen sense of the obvious there. It is on giving. So thank you, Gary. That was a cheap shot. I'm sorry. But yes, giving. And I want to talk about giving today. You know, there's different ways about giving, different things that we can give. You know, it's not just about us losing something. There's really more to it than simply just that. There's a lot about giving when you think about it. And so I want to kind of broke it down into four different areas. Not that those are the only four. It's just the four that I happen to think of tonight. So, you know, the first thing you think of is giving of substance. You know, giving away something that someone else needs. This is talked to us in Luke in the third chapter. This is John the Baptist is speaking. And the people asked him, saying, "What shall we do then?" He answered and saith unto them, "He that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none. He that hath meat, let him do likewise." And so you can see this is a basic tenet. If someone has need, you know, we're asked to give. And we did a study a couple weeks ago and on Wednesday here, and it's a lot about getting substances, getting things together in case we need to give them away, in case we need to use them for ourselves. You know, giving of our substance, giving that which we have, that which we've worked for. You know, and if you read in further scriptures, you know, it tells you, give and don't expect anything in return. You know, it should be someone who gives something away. Somebody borrows it from you, you know, let them have it. If they ask, if they have need of it, let them have it. You know, and we don't hold it over people. We don't ask for it back. We don't make sure that we give it, and we're giving it cheerfully and happily. You know, but that's one way that giving is done, is through the giving of things, actual physical things, money or food or clothes. You know, that's one way that we can give. Uh-oh. There we go. The other way we can give is the giving of time. Now, time is precious. It's the one thing we can't ever get back. You know, that's why it is so precious. That's why giving it is precious. In Mosiah, in the first chapter, this is King Benjamin speaking. You know, he was a king. He had a lot of responsibilities. He could have, as he was chosen by the people, and he was supported by the people to be in that position. He could have done a lot of things, but he chose not to do quite a bit of things. He chose to give and to serve. And he gave them of his time, and he told them, and he preached to them, and got up into a tower, and he talked to everyone, and let everyone know, and had his words written down. He was making sure that he was giving of his time to his people. And in Mosiah 1, in the 49th verse, "And behold, I tell you these things, that ye may learn wisdom, that you may learn that when you are in the service of your fellow beings, you are only in the service of your God. Behold, you have called me your king, and if I, whom you call your king, do labor to serve you, then had not ye ought to labor to serve one another?" You know, this labor, and he's talking about time. You know, giving of your time to people, because it's important. It's valuable, your time. And we need to be willing to give it if the occasion calls for it. You know, spending time imparting wisdom, teaching your children, teaching others around you, those that may ask and have questions, you know, about your faith. Why do you have this hope? You know, it takes time. Sometimes it takes a long time. Are you willing to give the time? Are you willing to invest time in other people? I'm glad that people took the time to write songs, took the time to record the scriptures, took the time to speak to me throughout my life. You know, I appreciate those things. As I get older, I'm trying to be more giving of my time. Another way we can give is kindness. That's the Grinch there. Yeah. To kindness and love, the things we need the most. Yeah. After he figured that out in his journey, it's true, we do. We need kindness. We need to give kindness. Alma, in the 18th chapter, this is Alma. He's talking to his sons. I believe it was Shiblon. It was his second son. And he has this to say. And now, my son, I trust that I shall have great joy in you because of your steadiness and your faithfulness unto God. For as you have commenced in your youth to look to the Lord, even so I hope that you will continue in keeping his commandments, for blessed is he that endureth to the end. And I say unto you, my son, that I have had great joy in thee already, because of thy faithfulness, and thy diligence, and thy patience, and thy long-suffering among the people of the Zoramites. So he's telling his son, you know, you bring me joy. You know, that's a kind thing to say. You know, if someone has done something, you tell them, hey, that was a good thing. We bolster them up. We reinforce their good behaviors. We reinforce, you know, those things that they've done, they put effort into, that they've given time over to. Now, it's a kind word. Kind words, you know, can really change someone's day around. You know, telling someone that you're happy to see them. Telling someone that you love them. It really can brighten someone's day. You know, I heard a story once of a man who was, he was about to go commit some horrible crime. He was about to go kill somebody. And, you know, because no one had been kind to him in his life. Except he had one teacher in grade school. And right before he was about to go and do this horrible thing, he remembered his teacher. The one person that showed him kindness. And the things that she told to him. Telling him, hey, you need to be a good boy. And he remembered that. And he stopped. Now, you never know what your words will do. You never know what weight they'll carry. You may never even see. You know, it might be after you've gone, your separated ways. Now, those words carry weight. And being kind to people. People remember that. Now, they remember how you treat them. They remember how you made them feel. You know, you must give kindness. Another way is giving mercy. Now, something I think we're sorely lacking in the world today. The greatest example of mercy I can think of. You know, when you look at David, King David, the Old Testament, he was a murderer. He murdered someone for his own gain. And then lied about it, tried to cover it up. You know, and why God didn't bring down his justice on him. Why? He deserved it. Well, because he was a giver of mercy. In 1 Samuel, in the 24th chapter, in the 4th verse, and the men of David said unto him, behold, the day of the Lord said unto thee, behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thy hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee. Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privily. And so at this point, you know, Saul had been trying to kill David. He made a couple of attempts on his life and made it known that he was going out to kill him. So David had to flee. And Saul went and slept in a cave. And David knew about it, and his men knew about it, and they were actually able to go in there and they were able to see him sleeping. And there he was, this man who was trying to murder him, to try and kill him unjustifiably. Someone was chasing him down, made multiple attempts on his life. Justice would have been satisfied if David had struck him down. But David thinks about it. He says, no, I can't do that. God anointed him as king. I cannot strike down God's anointed. In the 7th verse, so David stayed his servants with these words and suffered them not to rise against Saul. And he gave justice away in deference to mercy because Saul deserved to die. If you're trying to kill someone unjustifiably, you deserve to die. And David extended mercy when he could have exacted justice. And then later on, God extended him the same mercy. He had to pay a price, but his life was not taken from him because he gave mercy. And so those four areas, giving mercy, giving time, giving kindness, giving of our things, those are all ways that are demonstrated all throughout the Scripture. And I think are required of us. So I got a story. Does anybody know what those are? Targets. Specific kind of target, though. It's called silhouette shooting. And so those, I knew a guy. His name is Oris. I called him Old Man Oris because it rhymes a little bit. So, but I worked at a security guard company for a long time. And I was interested in firearms, and I was interested in reloading. And Oris was, he had owned a shop, and he had sold a lot of reloading supplies. And he was an old man, and he was a competition shooter. He shot in this black powder silhouette shooting. And so he knew a lot. And I was telling him about, I was trying to hand load. And he asked me how far I'd ever shot before. And I said, well, only like 100 yards, at the range there. That's all I got. He's like, all right, well, you want to shoot farther than that? I said, well, yeah. Because I told him one time I was out hunting, and I took a shot at a deer, and I completely missed. And I had no idea why. And he's like, well, let me come out, and I'll show you some things. And so I went up to the range, and I met him. And, he brought up his big old black powder rifle, and he was hand loaded all this stuff, and he was telling me the things he hand loaded and telling me, giving me tips, and he had me bring my rifle out there. And so I brought my rifle out and began to teach me how to shoot. There's a chicken down at the bottom. Those chickens are at 200 meters. I think the pigs are at 300, the turkeys are at 400, and those rams are at 500. I never shot any of those distances before in my life. So he was teaching me how. Let me use his resources. That stuff wasn't expensive. He's shooting a 40-70. There's giant bullets, big old lead bullets, big old cases, lots of powder. It's expensive stuff. And he let me shoot. And I got all the way out there. I was shooting with him, and he was giving me the pointers and telling me how to read the wind and how to call. And the last target I was looking at, I was like, I want to shoot that last one that's standing up. I want to knock it over. So I took his rifle and I shot about 10 rounds and missed and missed and missed. And he wasn't upset. He was kind. And I messed up and I used the last of his ammunition that he had there. But he didn't get upset. He just enjoyed the time. He gave me of his time. Gave me of his kindness, gave me of his substance that he had. He was merciful. And I remember that. Many years ago, I remember that. I never forgot. And it put me on a path. And I became the teacher. And I became the instructor. I try to remember that. You need to be merciful and kind. You need to teach. Give people what I have. I've got to be giving. I don't even know where he is. He only worked there for a short time, and then he left. And I lost contact. It was before the days of Facebook and before the days of Instagram. I don't know where he went. He was an old guy. I don't imagine he's on that today, so I probably wouldn't be able to find him. But I remember his kindness. And taking the time. Try to emulate that. There's a version out there. Tough Love. I'm sure you guys have heard of it. I don't know if you can see my picture there, but it's a mother bird. She's kicking her baby bird off the branch there, telling them to fly. A lot of us will... I'm sure some of us have engaged in or had tough love put upon us. But when I read my scriptures. I get a different idea of what tough love is. So you look at Hebrews in the 13th chapter, in verse 5, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. You know, God promises to never forsake us, to never leave us. And when you look at the examples that are recorded in our scriptures, it's true. He doesn't leave us behind. People have gone through great ordeals and great challenges to their faith and their emotions and physically. And he doesn't kick us off the branch. Say, hey, go fly. You know, this is not God's version of love. But God does have tough love. At some point, God was sitting in heaven and he instructed his son. I need you to do something for me. I need you to leave. I need you to go down to earth. I need you to sacrifice. That was tough. When Christ was in the garden, he was praying for relief. That was tough. It was hard. So the version of tough love that I see in the scripture is that one that's giving love is making the hard decisions. I'm going to do something I really don't want to do, but I'm doing it for something else. For someone I love. For each one of you, this was done. When Christ hung on the cross and God had to turn his back because he couldn't look on sin, as Christ took on the sin, that was tough. So I hope that you can redefine what tough love is. It's not being hard on someone. It's making a difficult decision for someone. Because you love them. That's what tough love is. Giving of yourself, even though it hurts. Because you love someone else. And it doesn't feel good necessarily, but it's for good. Now that's what tough love is. I think people use tough love sometimes as an excuse just to be tough and to be hard. You know, I don't see that. I don't see that as God's example. But he's full of tough love. And so we too need to be full of tough love. And we have to give in the right mindset. In the 6th chapter of Matthew, verses 1 and 2, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. And we have to do this in the right mentality. You know, there's that other scripture, God loves a cheerful giver. You know, when we're asked to give out of our heart, we're asked to give out of love. We have to do this in the right mindset. Otherwise, It's as if we never gave it all. You know, it's got to be done correctly. You know, Christ, He gave all. He gave us everything that's around us. He gave us everything that we can give. All the substance, all the things we see before us was given to us. We were given this earth to live in, the air we breathe, the food we eat, clothes on our back, everything was given to us by Him. Colossians, the first chapter, the 16th verse. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. He gave us so much more than what we could ever hope to receive. And it's of this that He's given us that He expects us to give. So, you know, it's not really ours. We're just kind of stewards over our things for a short time. And so when we're giving, it's not truly ours. Now, God sustains all things. And because He gave, we should give too. He gave us that example. Now, Christ gave us His time. Philippians, in the second chapter, starting in the fifth verse. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And He came down, He left glory. He left perfection. So He could spend time here. And when He was done, and ascended back into heaven, He came and He visited other people. He spent time with people because He wanted them to know who He was and what He promised. He spread His word and His gospel because He did it through time. He left perfection, left His Father in heaven, and came down and gave of His time. And so we should be the same. We should be willing to give time. Again, we're just a steward of our time here. We're borrowing it. We need to give time to those around us, just as Christ did. Christ gave us kindness. Look at 3 Nephi, the 8th chapter, the 6th verse. And He said to them, behold, My bowels are filled with compassion towards you. Have you any that are sick among you? Bring them hither. Have you any that are lame, or blind, or halt, or maimed, or leprous, or that are withered, or that are deaf, or that are afflicted in any manner? Bring them hither, and I will heal them. For I have compassion upon you. My bowels are filled with mercy. For I perceive that you desire that I should show unto you what I have done unto your brethren at Jerusalem, for I see that your faith is sufficient, that I should heal you. You know, this kindness, this compassion, you know, He demonstrated it. Because we need to be kind and compassionate to all those who are around us, those that are in need. And these people didn't do anything to deserve it, they just believed. That filled Him with compassion. It's our example. It's how we should be. We should be filled with compassion. We should act in kindness. Because Christ gave us that example. He told us as much, demonstrated as much. You know, Christ, He gave us mercy. Of all people, he had the ability to exact justice and the right to do so. Time and time again, he demonstrated mercy. John, in the 8th chapter, the 3rd verse, "And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. When they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery, the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. What sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down with his finger and wrote in the ground, as though he heard them not." So here we have this example where the law was given. Justice could be exacted. What does Christ do? "So when they continued asking him, he lifted himself up and said unto them, He that was without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And when they heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. And the one who could justifiably cast stones chose not to. He told her, just don't do it again. Mercy. Mercy he gave. Mercy he demonstrated. That's what we need, is to give mercy, to give kindness, to give time, to give of our substance. These are all things that we should be giving, because it comes with promise. It comes with great promise. Luke, in the 6th chapter, "Be therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. With the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." This promise that if we give, you know, he gives back. He gives again. There's this promise. You know, you're looking at a description. There's no room left in the container. It's pressed down. It's shaken. It's running over. Now, this is what he can give to us. It's a great return on our investment. This eternal reward which he offers, that he gives, if we believe and do the things that he demonstrated, do the things that Christ taught us, to be merciful, to give our substance, to give our time, to give our kindness. It's really simple. And the path is before us. There are opportunities that abound. You just have to look for them. Be within your own family. Be with your own friends, your co-workers. This is the expectation. This is the promise of a God who fulfills his promises. And thank you for your time.